Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is our epistle reading for today, which is the basis of today's sermon, especially these words. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but that God will destroy them both. Thus far the reading. Good afternoon, Mount Olive Lutheran Church. It is great to be here, and I want to take the beginning of the sermon to thank you all for letting me go and take a nice little vacation to go and see my family. It was good to see them. Though we went down to Florida, it was warmer here. That's not how it's supposed to go. But I must say, it was good. I got to see my family, got to see my two little nieces. They're 7 and 3, or as Greta will say, I'm 3 and a half. The half is important at that age, I'll have you know. But I love those little girls. In the past year where I was taking time off in between my ministry was honestly a blessing because I was missing seeing them grow up, and I got to spend an entire year with them. But I missed a lot of the big, like, childhood milestones for them, you know, like walking, talking, crawling, all of those little things. But I got to see, because we have cameras, I would always get to see like the after reel, you know. Here's Penelope saying mama, here's Greta going from crawling to walking. You know, it was like, ah, so good. It's so funny though, you know, I'm their Uncle Colin, or as they say, Cowan, because they're little. And you know what their first words were? There was mom and mom. Not Uncle Colin. How could this be? And you know, don't think that parents don't try and bribe their kids to make them say their name. I have a friend, his name is Tim. And when he was a kid, he, if you met him, he just talks all the time. But when he was really young, didn't want to talk at all. And so his parents, they'd bribe him, you know, be like, say mama, say dada, say mama, say dada. Nothing. So one day, mom decides she's going to bribe him, takes a cookie and says, hey, Tim, say mama. And hey, it works. He, from the lips of babes, he reaches out his hand and he says, cookie. Tim's first word was cookie. But it's interesting because first words out of children's mouth are usually mom and dad, and they babble a little bit. But then they kind of start to understand what words are. Tim understood what cookie was. But usually the first words that they really understand besides like names are no and mine. Right? You know, we always, you know, children, bundles of joy, but they're really just bundles of greed, you know. It's how entitled children are. They want all their needs met, and they need more than that. No, I don't want to share my toys. This is mine. But as we get older, we no longer, we're told no. We need to share our toys. When mom and dad tell us something, you can't just tell them no. You have to do it. We grow up. We mature. But oddly enough, we still have that sense of entitlement. Interestingly, it is in our first letter to the Corinthians we have this attitude reflected. Solomon is famous for saying there is nothing new under the sun, and hear these words from the letter to the Corinthians. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial, and yet you say, I have the right to do anything, I will not be mastered by anything. And where have we heard that before? I think sometimes that those same words have either come out of our mouths or we have thought them rather hard. Interestingly enough, in our other two readings, we have Samuel being called by the Lord, and we have Philip and Nathanael being called to follow Jesus. And part of that is when we become Christians, when we follow Christ, we're given the law. Now, the law cannot save, it condemns us. We're told this is how a Christian is to act in their life. And that is all well and good. And indeed, there are going to be sins that we struggle with. There are going to be our own metaphorical thorns in the side, those things that we say, Lord, I struggle with this. I struggle with this daily. I take this thorn from me. And it is good to struggle. Not that you sin, but your struggling means that you are aware that it's a sin and you continue to fight against it. What is not okay is to be entitled and to say, I have the right to do anything. I will not be mastered by anything. To have that childish, this sin that I do, it's mine, and no, I'm not going to change. That childish entitlement, and I think we all have that as something we struggle with. We have a sin that we like to keep as our little pet sin and say, mine. I'm going to keep this one forever. I'm not going to struggle with this because I like it too much. The Lord calls me to give this up, but I can't. Nay, I won't. In the context of our letter in Corinthians, it's about sexual immorality. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. But his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. That was very serious, talking about sexual sin, but I don't want this to overshadow that it can be any sin that we have that we defiantly hold on to because we have no intention of giving it up. In fact, here in America, there's a church for any heresy you want. You have a sin that perhaps you don't want to get rid of? Hey, there's a church for that. Do you want a church that affirms homosexuality? Hey, we got a church for that. Do you want a church that says, hey, you don't want to feel guilt for having premarital sex or sex outside of marriage? Hey, we got a church for that. But perhaps you really are into the very moral message of the church, but you're really not into what the church is about. That is Jesus, and you know, you'd rather him just be some sort of historical figure, but not actually God, and just church is a place of community and learning moral lessons. Hey, there's a church for that. See, the thing is, when we start seeing the scripture and starting to pick and choose for ourselves, suddenly the scriptures start coming apart, page by page, and soon there's nothing left. And it's still this childish sense of entitlement. Mine. No, I'm not going to give it up. And yet, here we are in the church worshiping together, and we are called to put down our sin. We are reminded that we are not our own. Here at the end of our text, you are not your own. You were bought at a price, and that very price being the very body and blood of Christ. The very body and blood that you will get to partake in today. I love the sacrament. I love communion because it's so physical. It's not something we do. It's not some empty ritual, but you get the opportunity to come before the Lord bearing whatever sins that you have on your mind. You get to lay down your sins, even your little pet sin that you cling to with that childish entitlement. You get to lay it at the altar of the Lord. You get to receive the body and blood of Christ. Feel, taste, touch, smell, and hear the words, you have been forgiven. instead of us saying, no, this is my sin, the Lord says to us, no, you are mine and I have bought you through the ever so precious blood of my Son. Friends, as you come to the Lord's altar today, search within yourself for the sins that you have committed and the sins that you do not want to give up. Lay them at the altar of the Lord and know that you are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.